It's showtime, folks.
Matt Rocchio playing injured. Still looks a little pale.
Yeah, you won't have me for long today.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad
idea. You guys will
idea.
Not have me for the full run today, but I thought before we have a guest in, I might as well come in and help Berger soak up some minutes out of this 120.
I greatly appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it.
How was yesterday without me?
It was okay.
It's the first show. That's the first time since we started that 590 show.
I
wasn't here.
I know I couldn't get Giamatti to shut up.
Suddenly, I gotta go back and listen to that show.
Yeah, suddenly it was the Giamatti show, man.
What would have been perfect yesterday for Giamatti would have completely inhabited my role, but for the stuff he knows about, and he would have jumped on the mic and told you why all the drummers you think are amazing in Giamatti's mind are actually complete and total crap.
We should have talked about that
I should have texted you and been like, just
okay, 7 o'clock is what we're going to talk about.
That's what you guys are going to talk about. And right now, I got it for you right now. This is how you open the segment. This is how you get Giamatti going right now. You go, Giamatti, right now, I'll give you Neil Peart at one, but number two, it's Travis Barker with a bullet. And right there, that's how you start the 7 o'clock hour, Matt Berger.
I don't know if I can even say that with a straight face.
Just get it out there, and the kid will run with it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. But I will tell you right now, Giamatti, I don't think Neil Peart's the best drummer.
I'd put Carter Beaufort as one.
Okay, well, I don't even know who that is, but I wouldn't put him at number one either.
Dave Matthews drummer?
Dave Matthews, okay. Yeah. I wouldn't even put him at number one either.
Really? Who'd you put there?
We're going to say right.
Not even going to be here.
Stay tuned at 7 o'clock.
Producing a segment, I'm not even going
to
be here.
We're going to see. We're going to wait till 7 o'clock to have this discussion, Giamatti. We're not going to do this right now. The Belmont Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line. Also available at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590 Show, at Matt_Berger, at Rock590, and at John Rudolph22. Joining us at 620 will be Clay Byersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. And then at 640, Brett Okamoto, who covers MMA for ESPN.com. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com.
I think Brett Okamoto is having a fun week.
I think he's having an interesting week, yeah. He has a pretty funny text talking about how... you know, like, the first movie is always the best. Sometimes the second one's pretty good. By the time the third one rolls around, it's bad. And I think it's going to be the analogy that he's going to use to describe these press conferences. They had the fourth one today and the final one. And why they didn't kind of, like, drag these out, space them out a little bit, I'll never know. That's going to be one of the questions we'll ask Brett. Because it seems like they were just kind of, like, running out of steam by the time they got to the third one.
They were. And I'll tell this right now, Mike. Well... some of McGregor's original content is awesome. Some of it's a little lackluster. But I'll tell you what, McGregor's best part of his game has to be his ability to clap back. I mean, Floyd goes from, you know, Floyd brings out the $100 million check. He says that's for the tax man. He hits him with the one yesterday where Floyd makes it rain all over him with wads of bills.
Yeah.
Connor picks up it, says it's just a $1 bill. Not really that impressive. And to hit Connor's point, you're right. You're the money man. You got to at least have a tenner in there. Right? I mean, you got to at least have 120.
I thought the funniest thing that he said was, why are you carrying that book bag around? You don't even know how to
read. Yeah,
that one was pretty good.
Man, do you remember? I remember back in the day when we were working the morning show and we had that piece of audio where that morning show was trying to get Floyd Mayweather to read a spot.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that piece of audio? And it was hard to listen to.
It really was.
How many times he had to reset and then you kind of step back and you're like, well, maybe Floyd Mayweather actually can't read, which would be disappointing for the public school system of America. Come on, I've kind of run out of steam.
You think when he was in Grand Rapids that Floyd Mayweather went to the best schools?
Oh, Grand Rapids, okay. I'm a little bit out of steam. It's a lot of fun. While it started, it was a lot of fun. I think the fight's not going to be anything.
The fight's going to be terrible.
I thought the build up was a lot of fun, but the last 2 days I've been a little bit iffy on it. It is funny. You got to admit, Conor McGregor, he's doing it right. I mean, he keeps walking out in the awesome. That's where I think he screwed up today. Walking out there in the shorts with no shirt on and the big coat.
Yeah,
that's where you blew it yesterday. Come on, keep going with those suits. Those suits look amazing on you. You look like you're the villain in every movie who doesn't show that he's like a physical freak until the very last moments where the hero tries to stop him. And then all of a sudden the villain who just sat back in suits all day and made other people do his work. Now he actually fights you for real at the end of the movie. That's what he looks like in those suits. He's pulling it off. He could be a Bond villain in that stuff.
He's got a suit endorsement.
Yeah. He could be a Bond villain with some of the suits he's pulling. That all blue one. He could be a new age Bond villain with that. It was beautiful.
I think his next step is, I want to say maybe WWE. The thing is that he's not very big. He's not a big guy, and those wrestlers are huge. Now, I know there are some wrestlers that are smaller, but, I don't know if that's going to be something that his body's going to be able to, sustain all the falls and stuff like that.
Is he that much smaller than some of the smaller guys in the 2000s, like Rob Van Dam and stuff like that? Is he that much smaller than those guys?
Rob Van Dam was pretty big, though.
Yeah, but you got to – I'm talking guys, does he have that much smaller of a frame than all these guys, or just the fact that he's not roiding up like they are?
Well, that's probably part of it. But, another thing, too, that how much money he's going to be making from this, he doesn't need to do anything else if he doesn't want to.
Yes, $100 million is nice, but if he goes back to his day job, he's going to be making a fraction of that no matter what. Now, that's the funniest thing about McGregor is this guy's going to have to turn around after he takes $100 million from this fight and go back to making 16 maybe on his next UFC fight.
If he does that, if he goes back to the UFC,
he's going to have to, isn't he? He's going to get embarrassed.
Oh, that's the thing. I think that's maybe one thing that he's kind of banking on is that I don't think McGregor thinks he's really going to win this fight.
No, of course not.
But I think that if McGregor goes in there and he doesn't embarrass himself, and let's say it goes the distance. If it goes the distance, that is a W for McGregor.
Yeah,
I don't care.
That's Floyd's fault.
I don't care what the judges say. That is a W for Conor McGregor. If this fight goes the distance. But if he doesn't embarrass himself, he may be like, you know what? Maybe I'll finish out the rest of my career as a boxer more money.
How many rounds is it, 12?
I want to say it's 12, yeah.
Here's the thing, man. Even if it goes the distance, if Mayweather just lets him look stupid the last three rounds, at that point it might not matter. I'm talking, because I'm saying it right now, if I had to put money on it, I think there's going to be three or four times where Mayweather gets such a ridiculously good dodge and McGregor overextends himself, puts his power too far in front of himself, and he kind of trips and stumbles.
That could happen.
But Mayweather, being the fighter he is, he's not going to take the chance and step up and brain him. He's just going to jog back two more steps and reset. That's what I think might be the issue, is that I don't think Floyd's ever going to knock him out, but there could be a couple rounds where if his stamina's low, we can see the last couple rounds where McGregor's just looks embarrassing. Not like where he's to the point where he's barely even fighting Floyd, and it's just like, can we just ding this out right now because this guy's got no more energy left.
Brett Okamoto will be joining us on the Belmont Automotive phone line at 6:40 to talk about the press conferences the past 4 days. Sugar Shane texting in, how do you guys not come on the air and not talk about the duel in the sun, too? That's true. We could talk about this. It sounds like... sounds like Jennings Randolph Jr. has defeated local broadcaster Tim McKernan.
Can I point this out? I believe no one's talking about a very, very... questionable shirt change by Mr. Jay Jr. Here's what no one wants to talk about. Tim took a two-stroke lead. Jay was wearing a button-up. Jay took off the button-up. Jay threw on a t-shirt. Then Jay went on a run.
Sounds like a heady play.
I'm calling shenanigans.
How's that shenanigans?
As TJ Moe said, we're playing the rest of this game. We're playing the rest of this round in protest. Shenanigans. Absolute shenanigans. You picked your out. Also, Timmy was rocking the all black with pants on a 90-degree day. Jay was out there in shorts and a button-up shirt, and he had to even go out with a button-up. Perfidy.
Is this Wimbledon? Do they have to wear
part two. There's a certain amount of decorum, Cucky in the gimp mask beside. There's a certain amount of decorum in this baby, Matt Berger.
And I think Tim McKernan should have shown up Jay Randolph Jr. and done the last few holes shirtless.
He should have.
Ripped that shirt off and show all the hard work he's been putting at Golds.
At the same time, it's a very well-kept course over there at Normandy. And I don't think Tim wanted to have everyone in St. Louis streaming onto the grounds of Normandy at one time.
That's true.
And ruining the beautiful work that Jay Jr. and all those guys do. Because if he, I mean, let's be honest here, there's 5,000 people in the fan pen. That's at least 3,500 of them flocking directly to Normandy if that happens.
A shirtless Tim McKernan would have just torn Normandy to a dog track.
Yes, exactly.
There's not one doubt about
it. So he did that for the betterment of the hosts of the round, I should say. So I think Tim took the high road, and I think Jay took advantage of that. I think Jay took advantage of that with the shirt change. I'm just saying.
Look at you calling out shenanigans on Jennings Randolph Jr.
I mean, and here the man, he's the golf pro, and yet he strikes down to Corm in such a way by changing his shirt mid shot, and also wearing shorts in the first place against a pants wearer. Got to ask questions about these things, Matt Berger. That's all I'm saying. But it was an interesting round.
I have a feeling when they have the Duel in the Sun Part 3, that there's going to have to be some kind of negotiation as far as wardrobe goes.
I agree. I 100% agree.
They're going to have to fully agree on something, and I think what they ought to do. Back in the sun again, long pants, long sleeves, no hat.
Well, no, you don't need to go long sleeve. You can go short sleeves.
No. I think they ought to bake.
You don't need to kill.
Test the limit of what a man can do.
You don't need to kill people now. That's unnecessary.
No one's going to die. I'm sure there's water there, and if someone feels like they're going to faint or pass out, we'll have a nurse on staff.
That's a little rough. I mean, come on. Jay's got to, you know, take some darts down during the match. That's going to, you know,
and
that's
they
a
got
little
the,
rough.
They got the golf course. No one's walking this thing. They'll be fine. These are athletes, man. They're playing golf.
Yeah, but it was a fun one to watch. If you missed out watching it throughout the various videos, go to the fan page. They're all up there still.
Say, who Facebook Live did? Was it Cucky or was
it? It was Plowsy until his phone died, and then Cucky came into the rescue. He brought a camera, and he brought his get mask in.
Of course Cucky did.
And there was a lot of anger because he posted about four videos before we got a scoring update. We went from hole 8 to hole 13 without any scoring updates, and people were angry. They weren't having it.
What kind of cash does Jay get for winning the Duel in the Sun 2? Does anybody know?
I'm not exactly positive. I think they might have kept that one on the down low. No shocker there. But, I mean, publicly, it's just bragging rights. I mean, publicly, it's bragging rights. For all we know, there was some side action.
Is there
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some side action.
Is there anybody that takes the most benign jokey thing more seriously than Hockey Bob? Hockey Bob texting, and how was changing one shirt on a golf course any different from a pitcher asking for a baseball change? You didn't think about that, did you, Rocky? You only think about yourself.
Just,
you know. 314 texting.
The joke was right down the range, and Hockey Bob just set up the M80 and just shot the joke down just pointlessly, just unmercifully. Jesus, Lord Almighty.
From the 314, all black Tim,
fun.
Kevin Hardy. That was pretty good.
I never, these listeners never fail.
They never God do. The text machine will almost never let you down.
Nope.
Will almost never let you down. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Clay Byersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.